Welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I'm speaking with Dr. Craig Albert. He is Graduate Director of the Master of Arts in Intelligence and Security Studies at Augusta University. Tell us again some of your areas of specialty when it comes to political science in particular.
Sure. So my research interests, what I'm published in, is ethnic conflict, ethnic war, ethnic civil war. So mainly I deal with Chechnya and Russia as one of my main areas. That's where I was called to testify before Congress in 2013 after the Boston Marathon bombings. So I write a lot about Chechnya and Chechen terrorism, Chechenian nationalism, and I write a lot about Iraqi Kurdistan as well. So actually just this past week I had a piece come out, a scholarly piece come out in the Chicago Kent Law Review that talks about the Kurds in Iraq, some interplay with the Kurds in Syria as well, and what causes conflict to occur. You know, why was Saddam Hussein so dictatorial over the Kurds in Iraq, and how were their human rights violated by Saddam Hussein and, you know, the regime in Iraq since, and of course ISIS as well, has violated the rights, the basic dignity of Kurdish individuals. So why does that occur? How do we resolve that? So I write on that quite often. Right now I'm writing and researching on cyber war and cyber terrorism, really trying to understand, you know, what types of cyber war or the theories of conflict can play into cyber war, and therefore how do we prevent a full-scale cyber war from occurring, and how do we prevent a cyber war from going into a kinetic war? You know, if a cyber war occurs, let's make sure we keep it in the cyber domain and cyberspace rather than, you know, the United States responding with missiles, because that's a full-scale escalation and we're trying to avoid that. And then cyber terrorism as well, you know, what does that really look like? How do we define cyber terrorism versus cyber crime? So we have a big cohort at Augusta University that's working on a project involving this type of material and stuff. And then my other area of expertise is political philosophy, political thought. So I write a lot on the interplay between religion and politics, especially through French political philosophers and the classics like Plato and Alexis de Tocqueville. That's my favorite person to write about.
Politics and religion.
Yes.
The interplay between those two. We have got to make that a large part of the conversation the next time we get together.
I would love to. You know, the two things people say never talk about at the dinner table. Is like
I combine them.
I love talking about them. Oh, my students always roll their eyes because I'm like, oh, here we go. We got to talk about this.
It is so compelling, though. I mean, we've especially... Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be for another conversation, like I said, but I just want to mention briefly, when we see how closely intertwined the two are, and so many people's religion, even in America, really are based on their political views.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the correlation between those two is just phenomenal. And you can go all the way back to Plato, who is writing about the lessons of Socrates, when he states, you know, how religion needs to play a role in politics and vice versa. Mm. And, you know, the way I look at it, and there are other political philosophers that disagree with me, but I kind of see the history of political philosophy as the question about the relationship between power and politics and religion. You know, what do we owe to God? What do we owe to the government? And it's interesting because the main monotheistic religions, you know, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, even with the different divisions and sects within those different religions, have different understandings of what the relationship ought to be between religion and politics. So, we can talk for months on that issue.
So you all stay tuned. We'll be letting you know when that discussion is going to be coming up. But in the meantime, you know, we were going to take a look at what's happening around the world with regards to war, particularly when it comes to chemical warfare, and we were going to look at Syria. But you made a tie-in that I think would help us, too. You mentioned that a lot of your work has to do with what's happening in Iraq.
Yep.
And as we know, that is not a done deal. The madness continues there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, with Iraq and Syria, we have so many factions at play. This is why it's so difficult to solve both of these situations. I mean, let's take Syria for a minute. You have ISIS, you have Al-Qaeda, different factions. Al-Qaeda and ISIS are at war with each other. A lot of people don't understand that. They have a different understanding of the Islamic Caliphate, and they've been fighting. They're closely, they're merging together now because both sides have been losing for so long. But they're still kind of at a civil war with each other, ideologically and physically. In Syria, they fight each other. You have pro-Syrian regime individuals. You have anti-Syrian regimes, so traditional, you know, rebels and insurgents. So that's four factions fighting each other already. You have Russia in Syria. You have the United States in Syria. You have Turkey now engaging in full-scale aerial bombardment with some small arms infantry support as well in Syria. You have the Kurds in Syria. You have a Kurdish faction fighting the Turks in Syria. You have Kurds fighting for their own independent state in Syria. You have Kurds fighting against the Syrian regime in Syria. You have about 10 to 12 completely distinct factions in Syria. You have Iran going into Syria. You have Saudi Arabia supporting elements in Syria. I mean, this is the perfect storm. Now, we can bring this back to Iraq. You have the exact same thing happening in Iraq. You still have ISIS elements there, though they're about 98% clear of territory in Iraq, but you still have some sympathizers and some serious bad dudes there that are you know, members of ISIS. But you have, importantly, the same type of elements from Saudi influence, from Iranian influence, the different religious factions inside Iraq, the Shia versus the Sunni. You still have those tied to the former Ba'athist regime from Saddam Hussein that want one vision of Iraq. You have the Kurd elements, especially in northern Iraq, that want their own independent state. You have the Kurds in northern Iraq that want to remain a part of Iraq. So there's tension there. There's some civil conflict there. That mostly occurs at the election booths in Kurdistan because they're much more peaceful and have been more democratic than Iraq since the first Gulf War, since 1991, really. But all these different elements, and then you have the United States, of course, inside both of these as well. So it's impossible situations right now. If listeners are interested in any of this kind of stuff, this is what my program is all about. If I can give a selfish plug for the Masters of Arts of Intelligence and Security Studies, we teach the causes of war, the causes of ethnic conflict, counterinsurgency, you know, terrorism, counterterrorism. We teach all these theories, cybersecurity policy. It's a great program for people out there.
And what are some of the best ways to start looking now at getting registered for?
They can just email me directly at calbert@augusta.edu. They can look me up on Facebook and Twitter, and I'll respond to them. I have to look real quick. My handle is Dr. Craig D. Albert. If they just look up Craig Albert, you know, I'll show up. They can direct message me. It's open for that, and I'll respond. And then I'll send them the website, which is on Augusta University website. So if they just type in my name on the website, they should be redirected to the Master of Arts in Intelligence and Security Studies.
Excellent. Dr. Albert, it's great having you on board. Definitely looking forward to us continuing this.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. This has been Power Friday on Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Glad you all were able to join us. Think about one of the things that Dr. Albert shared with us is sometimes evidence is presented to us and we just don't want to accept it, even when we know it's right. Can we grow? Can we become better people, setting better examples for our children and others who are watching us, and thereby letting some of life's best moments come through each one of us? Till next time.